If you spent any time in the last, decade playing big open-world games, you've probably noticed they all owe a little something to Rockstar. But today, we're not just talking about the hype for GTA VI. We are going deep, really deep, into the engine that's going to make it all possible, Rage 9.
And we have to, because the word from our sources, all the technical breakdowns, isn't just, oh, it's a little better. It's a fundamental change in philosophy. For years, we all looked at Red Dead Redemption 2 and thought, well, that's it. That's the peak.
I mean, how could you top it? RDR2 set a bar so ridiculously high, you figured even Rockstar would have trouble clearing it again.
Right. But the way the Rage 9 documentation reads, it actually reframes RDR2 as the prototype. An incredibly complex, beautiful prototype, but a prototype nonetheless. Rage 9 is where they commit to a full simulation.
Exactly. That's the ambition that just leaps off the page.
Yeah.
So our mission for you today is to unpack how Rockstar is pulling this off, how they're building what our sources call a virtual world that simulates physics, biology, and sociology. This isn't just about making things look prettier.
It's the difference between animating something to look right and calculating it so that it is right. And that simple idea, that commitment, is behind every single thing we're about to talk about.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Let's start at the very foundation, the graphics and the physics, because that's where the first huge change is. The whole engine is built on physically based rendering, PBR.
And look, PBR isn't new, a lot of games use it, but the commitment to it at this scale, that's the challenge. In the old days, an artist would make a texture and just sort of tell it to be shiny. It was an artistic
Like
guess.
painting a picture of chrome instead of, actually making chrome.
Precisely. With PBR, the engine has to calculate light based on the material's real physical properties, its roughness, its metalness. So a chunk of concrete scatters light because it's porous. A chrome bumper reflects it perfectly because it's smooth and dense.
So any object just inherently knows how to react to any light source.
That's the idea. A rusty dumpster will look right at noon, at sunset, and under a pink neon sign. It creates this base layer of believability before anything even starts moving.
And when things do start moving,
Yeah.
that's where it gets, frankly, a little scary.
The sources really went into detail on the new open world soft body physics, especially for cars.
Oh, yeah, because car crashes in past games have always felt, well, a bit gamey.
100%. You'd hit a wall at 100 miles an hour in GTA V, and the hood would crumple in one of like three preset ways.
Exactly. It was an animation triggered by a damage number. Rage 9 just throws that whole concept out. Now, the sources say the engine is calculating this stuff in real time. It looks at your speed, the angle, the weight, what specific part you hit.
Is it a fender? Is it the chassis?
Right. And the results they describe are just visceral. I mean, they talk about seeing the car's chassis physically twist, axles snapping, and the glass shatters in these procedural patterns that apparently never, ever repeat.
You're telling me no two car crashes will ever be identical? That is the very essence of simulation. The physics event creates the visual. It's not picking from a library. And the craziest part is that this kind of thing used to be limited to tech demos, like BeamNG.drive,
Yeah.
where the whole point is just wrecking cars.
And all the computer's power goes to that one thing.
Exactly. To do this in a massive open world with everything else going on, it's a genuine first.
Okay, so we have objects with real density, cars with real structural integrity. But then it gets even crazier because they apply that same philosophy to the environment itself. Let's talk about water.
It's the next logical step, right? If you can simulate steel deforming, you have to simulate fluid. And since the game is in Leonida, I mean, come on it. Florida water is basically a main character. That old flat plane of water we've seen for 20 years, it's gone.
So this is a full real-time fluid dynamic system.
It is. And people will say, well, RDR2 had great water, and it did. But that was mostly rivers with defined flow. This is the ocean. And for that, they're using something called WaveWorks integration.
Which means the waves actually have weight.
Mass and drag. The sources talk about driving a speedboat, and it's
Yeah.
not just skimming a texture. You hit a big wave, the boat physically slams down, the water pushes back. It's a force you have to actually contend with.
That's incredible. And it goes under the surface too, right? With subsurface scattering.
Yeah, which is a term we usually hear for like making character skin look real. But here it's about how light travels through the water. It's how the engine can create that murky, silty water in a swamp versus the crystal clear turquoise you'd see out in the Keys. The water clarity is a physics calculation.
Not just the color they painted on.
Not at all. And then there are the little things, like if you stand in the surf, the water flows around your legs, it creates foam, it doesn't just clip through you. It's all these tiny, correct details that trick your brain.
And that detail gets dialed up to 11 when we talk about light. You can't do Vice City without nailing the neon glow at night.
You absolutely cannot. They're using a hybrid ray-traced global illumination system.
Yeah.
The hybrid part is key.
Meaning they aren't ray-tracing everything all the time because that would just melt the console.
Exactly. They focus the really expensive calculations where it matters most. The sun, the moon, and crucially, all those big, bright neon signs. So light doesn't just glow, it bounces.
What does that look like in practice?
It means that pink sign on the strip doesn't just light up the sidewalk. Its reflection shows up correctly in a puddle, on the hood of a car even. And the sources mention this specifically, in the sheen of sweat on a character's skin. The shadows get soft and diffuse. It makes the city feel humid and alive.
And this ties into the weather, too. The volumetric clouds are an evolution of RDR2s, but the example they gave was just, wow. Flying a plane through a thunderstorm.
And seeing the lightning illuminate the massive clouds from inside. That's because the clouds aren't a flat picture in the sky. They're 3D objects made of calculated vapor that light can pass through. It all has depth and mass.
So we've covered the world itself. Let's shift to the people in it, the biology and sociology part of this whole simulation.
Yes. And that starts with the physics of the characters themselves. They're calling it Euphoria 2.0.
We've had Euphoria for a while. It's always been good at making people fall down realistically. What's the 2.0 part?
The big upgrade is that every NPC now has basically a simulated central nervous system. In the old games, you'd shoot someone and they'd go instantly limp. That's ragdoll.
They just give up.
They give up. In GTAC, the primary instinct is self-preservation. They fight the physics. They stumble. They try to regain their balance. They'll clutch the actual spot they were hit, or they'll use inverse kinematics to reach out and grab a wall to start from falling.
So it's a struggle, not just a collapse. I can see how that would completely change the feel of combat.
It makes it feel so much more visceral. A punch isn't a canned animation. It connects with a jaw, and the head snaps back based on the actual force of that collision. Every single interaction is a unique physics event.
Which brings us to my favorite part of the source material, the behavioral AI. The Florida Man AI.
That's the sociology. Look, the biggest problem in open worlds, even the great ones, is that they feel like a stage built for you, the player. The goal here is what they're calling generative chaos.
The world happens whether you're there to see it or not.
Precisely. The examples are just amazing. You'll be standing on a corner and two cars will get in a fender bender and the drivers get out and start arguing. Maybe they exchange insurance. Maybe they start throwing punches. It's a little story that the world just created.
And then there's the alligator example.
The ultimate Florida moment. An alligator wanders out of a canal and into a gas station parking lot. The AI has to react. Some NPCs panic and run away and others, well.
They pull out their phones to take a selfie.
Of course they do. It's not a scripted event. It's emergent behavior. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it all serves one core philosophy. The world does not revolve around you. You are just one agent of chaos in a world that is already full of it.
Okay. We've laid out this absolutely staggering ambition. PBR, soft body, everything, fluid dynamics, sentient NPCs. Which leads us to the big hard truth in all the reports, the cost.
Yeah, we have to talk about performance. The sources are pretty clear that the target is 30 FPS on the PS5, on the Series X, and likely the PS5 Pro as well. And I know a lot of people will hear that and be disappointed.
But there's a very specific technical reason for it. What's the bottleneck?
It's the CPU, 100%. The GPU can handle drawing the pretty pictures, but the CPU is doing all the thinking. And it is being pushed to its absolute limit.
So what is it thinking about second by second?
It's running all those AI routines for every NPC in the area. It's calculating the ocean's fluid dynamics. And crucially, it's tracking the structural integrity for every single car that's loaded into the world. You can only do that many calculations per second. The price for this depth of simulation is frames.
So it's a conscious choice. They're sacrificing that 60 FPS smoothness for a world that's just...
That's the trade-off. But they're not just leaving it at that. They're mitigating the feel of it.
Right, with perfect frame pacing. Explain why a locked 30 can feel better than a shaky 60.
Because consistency is everything. When a game feels choppy, it's often because the time between each frame is inconsistent. A perfectly paced 30 FPS delivers a new image to your screen at an exact, predictable interval. It feels smooth and cinematic, not jerky.
And for the visual quality, especially on the PS5 Pro, they're leaning on new tech.
Absolutely. They're using PSSR, PlayStation's new AI upscaling. Instead of just stretching a lower-res image, it uses machine learning to intelligently reconstruct details.
So it's not just making the pixels bigger. It's like an AI artist is painting in the missing information.
That's a great way to put it. The sources say it gets the image almost native 4K sharp. So you get the visual clarity from the GPU, while the CPU is just churning away, making that stable, complex world a reality at 30 frames.
So after all this, what's the final verdict? Where does this leave the industry?
The verdict is that Rockstar has moved the goalposts again. But this time, it's not just a graphical leap. They've truly built a simulated world. I mean, the sources mention seeing bugs, like cars sometimes launching into the sky. But they frame it as a side effect of a true simulation.
It's a glitch in the Matrix, not a bug in an animation.
Exactly. So what does this all mean? It means that for the next 10 years, every other studio is going to be asked a deeply unfair question.
But is the physics as good as GTA 6?
And given the sheer CPU cost and engineering that went into Rage 9, the answer for almost everyone is probably going to be no. They've chosen simulation depth over raw frame rate, and that's a new benchmark for realism.
And that really all comes back to that CPU bottleneck we've been talking about, the absolute limit of what current consoles can calculate in real time. Which leaves a big question for you to think about. If today's hardware is maxed out just trying to run these systems at 30 FPS, what kind of entirely new technology? Are we talking a huge leap in processing or maybe even offloading calculations to the cloud in real time? What would it take for the rest of the industry to get this level of simulation, but at that smooth 60 FPS standard? The next big leap might not be about what we see, but about what the world is thinking.